So, Holly, you are at Big Bright Minds, Filene's Big Bright Minds here, well, up there in Irvine, California, right up the road from us. And we're doing our day two wrap up. So anything stand out for you for day two, Holly?
Oh yeah, a ton of stuff. Today we packed a bunch of content in a few short hours. As I was saying yesterday, we were all about growth. Today we were talking all about the credit union value prop and basically the ways you can, it's still about growth. It's still about being a business essentially, but how can you leverage your core capabilities in a way that allows you to meaningfully grow and meaningfully have impact, which is really the more important thing here. So we're looking at growing credit unions, not growth for growth's sake, but growth because the work that credit unions do is really helpful and important in shaping people's financial lives and building communities up and lifting them up. And so we need credit unions to grow so they can do more of that. And so this today was all about leveraging that unique value prop to make the business more successful so that credit unions can go out there and have a greater impact on the individuals and at the community level.
Yeah, off the top of my head, that brings about one of the interviews that we did today, thanks to you guys, was with Andy Stoll.
Yeah.
And Robin Brulé, and he's from Andy's from Kauffman Foundation. Obviously, Robin's from Filene. But they were talking about the power of entrepreneurship and small business lending and how they kind of go hand in hand. And that's something, that's a big topic in the industry right now. And so it's so great that you guys really address that head on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, in a lot of ways, a credit union is a small business too.
Yeah, you're right.
When you're looking in the financial services spectrum, comparatively to the top five banks, they're small and that's okay. But that kind of leads them to a natural value prop alignment is then to support the small businesses in every single way possible. And we talk a lot about how credit unions can support through the use of their capital in unique ways of offering loans and products and services that support small businesses. That's really important, but there's so many other ways that credit unions can connect the dots and support businesses. When they have events, they can do like cater through small businesses. They can choose venues that are in their location. They can really, really get into the weeds of this idea of place-based community support. It's already baked in to what a credit union is and the way they operate themselves as a small business.
Yep, indeed. And I want to step back to the beginning of today. So, and you guys started out with Dr. Quinetta Robertson, and she conducted a big talk on DEI and how they did a survey. And so, do you have any notes from that? Because I was able to watch part of it, and I got like the three things wanted creators need to achieve in this area, and eight DEI bundles of practices. Yep. So there were so many great takeaways in her talk this morning. But I would love to get your take on that as well.
Yeah, there's so many details that if you're really interested, you're going to want to go to the Filene website and read the white paper. It's a deep dive in the results of the survey that we did. But essentially, what Quinetta spearheaded was a industry-wide survey on not the demographical side of DEI, but the practices and policies. So she was trying to get a better understanding of what policies and practices credit unions have in place that are related to DEI, and then find causation and correlation to performance. And then from there, what she's done is she's found the correlating activities that lead to better business performance.
So
what's really cool about that is that it really is a way to use your DEI strategy as part of your value prop, your unique offering. And what she's found and what she's talked about today is that it's not about having a DEI strategy that's over here and then your business operations over here. It's about having a DEI strategy that is infused into your operations that helps support your goals and the way that you want to run your business. And then it's used in turn as a way to differentiate. And there's a ton of opportunity for credit unions to differentiate from the competition by having a really solid DEI strategy. And the data backs it up that consumers want that from the organizations that they choose to do business with. They want those organizations to support and actively just demonstrate how they pursue the mission-based purpose that aligns with a lot of what consumers are looking for. So it's a really great way to grow your operations as well.
Yeah, completely. Yeah. And she said in there, it's like, this really works. It will help your credit union perform better when you do A, B, and C. So yeah, it was really, really telling. So I really enjoyed the section that I got to see, because we had to do a few interviews this morning, but that's okay.
Yeah.
We had fun doing those too.
Yeah.
But I missed Dr. Mai Nguyen's talk. And so I was hoping that you would had a couple of takeaways from her talk as well.
Yeah, it was really similarly aligned to what Andy Stoll was talking about. It was really about the entrepreneur community and so basically for credit unions to behave more like startups that are empowering the individuals in their communities to basically like. There's no limit to the way that credit unions can partner with other organizations, from a small business to an individual entrepreneurial that needs startup capital to get a business off the ground, to other foundations and community support groups. Credit unions have a role to play in absolutely every aspect of the community, because the financial aspect is one of the greatest limiters for seeking financial well-being, for seeking financial freedom. Credit unions have a role to play in whether it is, we have a great example from a study that we did a couple years ago on domestic violence, and we had a domestic violence recovery loan. So thinking outside of the box in the way you work with other organizations and support systems in the community, a credit union could maybe take $100,000 and donate it to a domestic violence shelter.
Yeah.
But they could also take that money and use that to underwrite 10 times as much in loans, in small dollar loans, to help people get out of the financial burden that maybe would help them, change their lives forever, really. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And that's a really, really powerful, but not that big of a loan. It's not that great of a risk, because it's a small dollar amount. Mm-hmm. It's something that credit unions can do. And some credit unions would say, well, we're not really making money on this, or it's too high on our risk profile. But if you think about it differently, if you think about it like this is almost like a donation, but we're doing it in a more unique way that gives the individual something that they really need to change their lives. Credit unions have such a powerful way to get involved when they look at it from how they can use their capital in unique ways to support the community.
Yeah, it's such a huge value add as well. It just makes the credit union that much more valuable. So, and who doesn't want that, especially today?
Yeah, that's exactly what Mai was saying, that this can be your value proposition. Your entire value proposition can be how you do everything in your community to lift up those in your community, because a lot of other businesses are not hyper local like a credit union is. And that's like the fabric of what a credit union is, even if they are nationally chartered, they are community focused. And so that can be your value prop, is to say, we are here to work with all the other organizations in the community and bring like the part of the puzzle that we bring, which is access to capital, really.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah, and wouldn't you think the community would be appreciative of that? that this business is really taking, you know, committed to this area to help it improve and grow and all that good stuff that happens in this area. So yeah, oh my gosh. What else is on your wrap up? Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead, Holly.
No, I was going to say, I think that's proven time and time again that people are interested in that. Whenever I am, you know, at an event and I talk to people that aren't part of the conference and they say, you know, what is a credit union? Tell me a bit about a credit union. And they're like, oh, I should join a credit union after they hear just a little bit, like a two sentences about why a credit union is different. And absolutely, people care about that mission-based side of it.
Oh, completely, completely. It's getting more and more important as time goes on, for sure. And credit unions are right there in the middle of it, right there in the middle of it. All right, hey, what else is on your wrap-up notes list there for us, Holly?
All right, so we started the day with a couple of polls, which I thought was really interesting. So we had Mai and Quinetta ask the audience some questions. So Mai asked people what their most important social or economic challenge faced in their community right now. Mm-hmm. And people could text in their answers. And the top four, financial stability was the number one, and inequality. Mm-hmm. Poverty and education. So not surprising, but that tells me, you know, credit unions do money-based businesses, but dealing with education, dealing with poverty, dealing with inequality, there's a lot of ways to connect with other organizations in your community that are supporting that those causes in unique and different ways. And credit unions shouldn't be doing this alone. They should be partnering with those organizations.
Oh, completely. Completely. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Valuable information there for sure. So, and let's see, what else do we have? What else do we have on our list here? What are some of the activities going on today? Because you had, today was what, stay and play day? We called
stay
it
and
the
play.
Great recess yesterday.
Yep. After this, there's the session going on right now talking about breakout sessions on mission and margin to drive growth.
Okay.
So again, a lot of what we were talking about today. And then Mai is a professor at UC San Diego, and she runs the design lab. So we have a couple of demonstrations from the UC San Diego design lab coming out to do some showing some prototypes. And what's great about this is it's not credit union products. It's not credit union business. So it's like getting people out of the mindset of their day to day and getting them to think of new ideas and new ways.
That's how you grow. That's how you grow. You step out of that silo. Mm-hmm. so glad you guys are doing that. Cause ordinarily you guys are going out and about on the town, looking at really cool organizations doing fantastic things in communities and stuff. But unfortunately COVID is keeping you guys from doing that this year, but you guys have an excellent plan B in the stay and play activities for the day. So yeah, really good stuff. Good stuff. Mm-hmm. There. So any big takeaways for you today, Holly?
Anything you're going to ask that. So I had that prepared. I want to hear yours too, but.
Oh my God. Well, I'll let you go first.
Okay. So today the vibe I was getting from the day is that we're really powerful. We opened the day with a bit of a TED Talk video about a woman that did research with NASA and looked at systems on the macro level. Mm-hmm. And it was really, she was saying that it was really kind of depressing because she could see climate change. She could see like urban sprawl. She could see all of these ways in which on the macro level systems are kind of breaking down, including like our ecosystems. And she was looking at bees in particular and their ability to thrive and pollinate. That's a really important thing for our planet Earth, of course. Oh, yeah. And then this idea of habitat fragments came up where, you know, you can have a little patch of wildflowers in a shopping mall. You can have somebody grow wildflowers in their front yard. You can have a park that has an area of wildflowers. And these little fragments connect to a bigger ecosystem in a location that allows these bees to thrive. And the analogy here was that credit unions are doing that same thing, that they're each small and do their own individual business in their location, but they can connect to something much more powerful and world changing. So that was my takeaway. It was powerful. Something that we always say about Phylene is that we're small but mighty. And I would like to challenge the entire industry to rethink that idea of maybe we're not small but mighty, but maybe we're mighty because we're small.
Ah, yeah. And then when you connect us all together, put us all together, oh my goodness. Yeah, I saw that same video when I was watching it online. I thought it was fantastic. And the way that it connected, how they connected it to credit unions was spot on. So total agreement there, total agreement. Mm-hmm. All right, my takeaway was when I was interviewing Andy Stoll, and we were talking about entrepreneurialism and, you know, how credit unions can help out small business and stuff. But what floored me was when one of the first things he said was that entrepreneurialism in America is kind of, I don't want to say it's asleep, but it's not as active as it used to be. And he's talking about the 20 years. And that really floored me, because you hear about, you know, Tesla and Apple and, you know, Uber and all these, you know, fantastic companies that were once startups and that they've actually, you know, grown recently. I'm like, what? And he says, oh yeah, you see these big companies, but all the smaller ones that you don't see, they're not there anymore. They're not, you know, they're not growing. So he said, this is a great opportunity for credit unions to really step up to the plate with their small business lending efforts and get these startups going. So that was my big takeaway. And I was thinking, as we come out, and I've read stories as we come out of COVID, about how all these people lost their jobs and they're looking for something. But at the same point, there was this other group of people who did lose their job, but they're starting up these companies. Yeah. They saw a need and they're starting up these companies, and there's a lot of them. And so I went, oh my gosh, you're putting two and two together. It's like credit unions, there you go. There's your small business lending goals
in front of you. And it's just like a self-fulfilling prophecy, because then it's just growing their member base as they're growing successful businesses. And it's a real danger if that work isn't, it's a risk not to do that work, because what's going to happen if we lose all of the small businesses? And then, you know, we're just going to have five macro conglomerate businesses. Like, that's not going to be good for anything.
Nope.
So we can't let that snowball continue where small businesses get eaten up, and so this is a real important focus for credit unions.
And Robin Brulé was in on that interview too, and she kept saying, gosh, this is an opportunity that just can't be wasted. You really have to get on. And I think Andy, you know, dovetailed on that, saying, you know, when you provide a loan to one of these small businesses or a startup or an entrepreneur, they're with you for life. Then, you know, hey, you know what? Next thing comes a mortgage, an auto loan, you know, retirement, investing, all that type of stuff that just deepens that relationship when you help them out. And there's that loyalty and that trust is there from the get-go. So I thought that was my big takeaway, was the whole entrepreneurial type of thing. So, because I'm fascinated by that whole sector of our business.
Yeah, and it's not just talk. I mean, we see it happen. We've done a lot of research that proves just what you were saying, that, you know, we did an I-10 loan program test pilot, and those that were given loans with an I-10 instead of a social security number were members for life. And they told other people in their communities and vouched for the credit union. So it skyrocketed their loyalty scores. And so it's not just like verbal, like, oh, I'm sure people will love it if you do this. Like, it's proven that people do stick with those that give them the opportunity that no one else would give them.
Exactly. Yeah, there's so many stories like that out there. And let credit unions be the ones to provide that opportunity. So that's right there in front of us. All right. Yeah. Anything else, Holly? You want to tease what's going to happen tomorrow?
I was going to say, day three tomorrow. We wrap it up tomorrow, but we are going to shift our focus to digital transformation. So all things that, you know, that this was a thing that existed pre-COVID, but the last 18, 19 months just accelerated the need to digitize everything so much. Mm-hmm. And not just digital services, but also using data and AI in new ways. And so we have our fellows for our Center for Emerging Technology and our Center for Data Analytics and the Future of Financial Services, Bill Maurer and Sherry Spire-Piro. And they're going to be doing their dual keynotes tomorrow morning.
Okay, good deal. Good deal. Well, we will be there for sure to check it all out and look forward to closing it out on a strong note on day three at Filene's Big Bright Minds, this year located in Irvine, California. And hey, we brought in some good weather for you finally.
Oh, thank you for that.
It's like 80 degrees outside now. Are you kidding me? When 2 days ago, it was a downpour.
I know. It's a little odd. It's going back and forth, but I'm happy with the sunshine today.
Yeah, we brought a little summertime to you, so happy to provide you with that. All right, Holly. Well, I'm gonna let you get back at it. Thank you so much for. I love these daily wrap ups are a lot of fun because it makes you kind of stop and think and really kind of analyze what you saw. So I love it. All right, well, we'll do this again tomorrow. I think tomorrow we're gonna be doing this at high noon, right? 12 o'clock Pacific time.
I believe so. Yeah.
Okay. Well, stay tuned for then. So until then, we'll see you guys tomorrow. And again, Holly, thank you so much. This is a blast.
Of course. Thank you.
You're welcome.